Hey, how's it going, guys? Sean Mathis here, and I got my co-host Doug Milam here with Insurance Hustle, and we are working on part two of goal setting and business planning. So if you haven't listened to part one, make sure that you go and listen to that one first, or this one won't make sense. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/insurancehustle and catch the part one of this episode. So where we left off yesterday, or last week rather, was the beginning with the end in mind goal setting, and that really pivotal mind shift for me that happened working with coaches, actually my first coach when I was in the insurance business, helping me understand that I wasn't thinking big enough. And the problem that most of us face when we're setting goals is we're incrementally goal setting and we forget about the end result of why we got into this business, whatever business that is for you. But if you're in the insurance industry, why you started in the insurance industry and what that goal, that end game goal was. A lot of times we'll find that end game and we'll say, you know, one day I wanna have a $10 million book of business and 10 employees, and you've got this vision of what you want your agency to look like, but then you completely abandon that goal and say, but for now, we're gonna do this. And we talked about the 10X rule by Grant Cardone, and we also talked about Think and Grow Rich. I think those are two excellent reads that you should read. I read them about this time every year just to kind of remind myself of what I need to do, get myself goal-oriented and refocused and revisit my goals and kind of figure out what I want to do for the year prior. I typically run my business, and I ran my agency October to October. And I use November, December as planning time. Whereas a lot of agents and a lot of people in business, they're in crunch time at the end of the year trying to reach their goals when half of November is gone and half of December is gone with Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, all the travel, and people are just putting buying on hold. So I would encourage you to kind of look at how you're setting up your year. And Doug's gonna talk with us about how he set goals for his agency. He had a huge team at State Farm that he managed. He's managed several salespeople, both on the captive side as well as the independent side. And he's got some really good insight on how they set goals and kind of what they did. But ultimately, the 10X rule is, you know, thinking big, thinking 10 times what you think you need to do. And the first rule of the 10X rule is never to reduce the target. So revisit what it is that you really want out of your business, what you want out of your life, and understand that that should be your goal. There's no reason to say, okay, I'd like to have a $10 million book of business, but instead this year I'm gonna work on making $100,000. In doing so, we've been conditioned to think this is the way to set goals so that we set reasonable targets and that we, you know, reach success and we're not constantly missing the target. And I'll tell you from experience that you're not any more fulfilled reaching a target that you ultimately didn't want anyway, which is where I find myself when I first made $100,000 my first time, because that was my life goal. I met it and then I was empty, because really that wasn't what I wanted. I really wanted more than that, but that was my reasonable target that I set for myself, and it was a big letdown. And so ultimately that's what kind of led me to starting to work with other successful people like Grant Cardone and Katrina Campins. And like I said, I've done several programs with some of the top business people in the country and arguably in the world. And all of them set goals this way. They think big, they think unreasonable, and they set targets that they don't necessarily have a plan to get there. And what we often try to do is say, well, I think I can manage this many leads and make this many calls and sell this many policies or do this many deals, and I can afford this much staff, so this is where I can reasonably get. And we can't wrap our mind around, how do I go from a scratch agent to $10 million in-force premium? We don't have the resources, and we don't know how to do that. So we then abandon that goal and go after something else. And what ends up happening is you never actually reach for or put forth the action to get there. And most of us go through life unfulfilled, never reaching our goals, because the truth is that goal was nothing. It wasn't even really a goal. It was just a dream. It was just something that we thought would be nice, but we never actually put an action plan or a business plan in place to get to that target. So that said, I'm going to give you 6 steps to effective goal setting, because you say, okay, that's great. Well, how do I do this? Because you probably never set goals this way. So there's 6 steps to setting effective goals. And this is kind of a mix between the 10X rule and There we go. I'm going to pull this up for those of you that are watching on video. The 10X rule and Think and Grow Rich. All right. So when you're reading this one's out of the Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So while I highly recommend reading the book, this is a little bit different, but this is kind of how I condensed it for myself. So number one is to determine exactly how much money you want to make. Like, don't be vague. Don't say six figures. If it's $250,000, let it be $250,000. If it's $1 million, let it be $1 million. So determine exactly how much money you desire to make. Then determine exactly what you intend to do in order to earn the money that you desire. What are you offering in exchange? Because remember, there is no free lunch, right? And I think this is a piece that a lot of us miss, is that we will say we want to make this, but then we don't say, and I'm willing to do this to get it, right? I'm willing to go to this length in exchange to earn that much money. You know, so for me, my big goal when I first started in the insurance business as an agent was to be the rookie of the year. I wanted to be the number one rookie agent in the company. And I was willing to stop at nothing to get it. If I worked 12, 14 hours, 16, 18 hours a day, then that's what I would do. If I had to make 100 phone calls, I'd make 100 phone calls. If I had to make 500, I'd make 500. If I had to go on a nice Saturday morning where everybody else was at the park and I'm in the office banging out calls, then that's what I did. So what are you willing to do in order to reach that? And if you don't have a burning desire that is, I'm willing to do anything to get that goal, then that goal isn't really a very important goal to you. So you need to really think hard about what it is that you want out of your business and out of your life. And it has to be something that you are wholeheartedly passionate about, that you eat, sleep, and dream and think day and night about that thing. That's how passionate you have to be about it. Then you need to establish, you need to establish a date that your plan is going to get you there. You know, not just one day, I want to have a $10 million book of business. When do you want to have that accomplished? And the exciting part about entrepreneurship is actually being able to figure that part out. You don't have to have points from A to Z all planned out and figured out in order to get there. That's the whole fun part about being an entrepreneur, is figuring out how to get to that end target. But if you don't know where you're going, there's no way that you'll ever get there. And then establish a definite plan for achieving the desire. And start like right now, like definitively, what are the actions that you want to take? And so the cool part is we do an exercise in our programs, is we create our goals and then we say, what are the actions? What do you think it's going to take to get there? Because obviously, if you knew how to make, you knew how to have a $10 million book of business, you'd have it. You don't know how to get there, right? If you are setting a goal to have something that you don't have, you don't know how to get there, right? Or you would already have it. So put a plan together that you think will get you there. Then Grant will say, do 10 times that. Whatever you think it's going to require, do 10 times that. So obviously you can't do everything in a day. So what I have people do is segment out what that's going to be. If you think it's going to be, I'm going to make 100 cold calls a day. Okay, do that for 30 days. Make 100 cold calls without fail every day. And then document your results. And then maybe 100 calls a day isn't part of that plan. Maybe you realize the return isn't good. Maybe you shouldn't be spending your time making 100 cold calls. And then you get to try something else. But you need to make a full list of everything that you think it's going to take to get there. And then you need to actually segment those out and document that you did it and what the result was. Then what you can do is start taking out of those and say, hey, I don't have a $10 million book, and here are the things that I did this year. Here's what worked. Let me keep that. Here's what didn't work. Let's not do that. Let's replace that with something else, right? And you take this approach to reaching your target, and it keeps you from getting burned out because you're always challenged. You're always pushing yourself. And I promise you, if you stay after the end game, that big goal, you're going to reach much higher levels of success than had you just set a reasonable target, right? So if you set a goal of 100,000, statistics show that you will come within, give or take, 100,000. It's a limit. It's a limiting, you're placing a ceiling on the level of success that you have, because you don't typically set a goal of, I'm going to make $100,000 this year and then go out and produce 10 million. It just doesn't happen. Your body operates the way that, subconsciously, you're not going to put a $10 million effort into a $100,000 goal. It just doesn't work like that. That's not how the mind works. then write out a clear statement of how much money that you're going to acquire, the amount from step one, what you intend to do to get that money, which was step two. So the amount from step one, then what you intend to do in exchange, the date that you're going to have it, the specific actionable items that you're going to do to get it, and then read that. The last step is to read that twice daily. I literally did this. I wrote out, it was about a one-page narrative that said exactly what I wanted to do. It said exactly what I was going to do to get it. It said exactly when I was going to achieve it. And I literally read this. I kept it by my bed, and I literally read it every day when I woke up and every night when I went to bed, and I ingrained it. And I'll tell you, I ended up winning every single award, including Rookie of the Year that year. It was this process works. I promise you, it works. The problem is, and the one thing that I missed that I learned from Grant that I will give you is that you have to have depth. Your goals have to have goals. My goals didn't have goals. I had $100,000 a year goal. Why? For no reason. There was no reason for me to say I want to make $100,000. It sounded cool. I didn't have a goal for my goal. What was I going to do with that $100,000? Why did I want to make that $100,000? So everybody talks about, you got to have your why. I say you got to have depth to your goals. If you're going to say you want a $10 million book, why? What is that going to do for you? How is that going to impact your life? Because life is much deeper than business success, right? So what are you going to do with it? How's it going to change your life? How's it going to change your family's life, your relationship? You know, are you going to do some humanitarian efforts? What are you going to do with the money that you're wanting to make? And make sure that that's incorporated into the process, because you can do all of these things like I did, and then you have no real reason for it other than just to do it because it sounds cool or it's more than what you have now. You're going to end up being lost and unfulfilled at the end of the day. So we'll send you guys out that list if you want. Just email myself, reach out on Facebook, Sean at sellingwithsean.com, or reach out to Doug at convertedlead.com. Say, hey, send me the 6 steps. Hit us up on Facebook. Say, hey, I listened to the show, loved it. Send me the 6 steps, and we'll make sure that we send that out to you. But enough of my talk. Doug, like I said, has a lot of experience managing sales teams, multiple agents, probably one of the larger agencies that I've ever worked with. I think at one point you guys said, 18 people, Doug?
13 salespeople and 4 service. So yeah, 17.
Yeah. So they were recruiting monsters. They were able to get people that were licensed, but they also talked to people who weren't licensed and convinced them that the insurance industry was a good place to be, and was able to do that because he had a well defined plan and showed them that, hey, it's scary to switch industries, but we've got a plan for you. We've got a process for you to work. And that's one of the things I've always loved about working with Doug, is that he's really good with processes and systems. He's not just like running through and doing shit, shooting from the hip, like most of us tend to do. He's got a process that he works and that he teaches to his agents. So Doug, tell us first from the agent level, like how did you guys set goals for your agency? And then obviously for an agency with 13 people, in order for you guys to reach goals, your people had to have goals. And so there has to be and that's a lot of times where there's a disconnect between management and sales team. It's like management wants this, but the salespeople want this, and there's this disconnect. So, you know, how did you guys set goals? And then how did you coach your team to set goals? And how did you guys bridge those to have those work well together for the team?
Yeah. So, kind of first off, to set the agency goals, I manage the day-to-day in the office for an agent, little over 5 years, about 5.5 years. And the one thing we did every year, 1st of November, is we started the conversation of where do we want the agency to be in 5 years, and then work our way back from there. And once we kind of determined where we wanted the agency to be in 5 years, we're at a point where, okay, now we can plan what next year is. And then every year in November reviewed that plan of, hey, where did we hit from last year? And what do we, and so then what's the goal for next year? Where do we fall short that we need to step it up? Where did we overachieve that we actually get to kind of pull back and put a little bit more effort on something different? And we would look at everything from not just, you know, premium on the books or households on the books, but we'd look at, you know, how many staff people do we want to have? How many of our staff do we want to turn out into agents of their own, where they leave us and go open their own agency? And that kind of thing, and kind of having that reach going that direction. And so we would look at all kinds of different things from a monetary standpoint. I'll start with one of the big practical ways, because there's some of that's unpractical, right? You want to, hey, in 5 years, we want to be able to have, you know, six people that have come out of our agency to open their own agency and that we've spit out. Some of that, you know, is dependent on finding the right recruits, training them up. Those people, when they reach the point where they could open agency, wanting to, and that kind of thing. So, you know, some of that's not completely in control, even though you can set the process and the steps up to get there. From a monetary standpoint, we sat down and we said, in 5 years, we want to be at the point where we have $2.5 million of renewals coming in. Not new business, not on the books, not anything like that. We want $2.5 million being spit out monthly in renewal income coming in that can be used to run the agency, can be used to start little side businesses or other passion projects. It can be used for whatever. It's renewals that are coming in and there. So we broke it down and basically figured out that we needed to add 250,000 of renewals basically every year in addition to what the book already had in it. And so in doing that, we kind of went backwards from the math, and we had always looked at households. How many households do we need to do? Because that is something that's practical to say, hey, you need to write $30,000 in premium. What we found with some of our sales guys was they would get really discouraged because they'd work really hard. They'd write a ton of households, but like it just didn't pan out to be a high end premium that month on some things. And they'd, you know, hit $25,000 in premium. But then one sales guy would get lucky and get that household that he calls, and they have, you know, just all the toys, all the bells and whistles. They need the huge life policy, and all of a sudden they're getting, you know, $40,000-$45,000 in premium that month, and they didn't do anything different. And so we took a step back, and as a motivator for our salespeople, we set it up as how many households do they need to write. We figured out they basically needed to write 17 households a month for us to hit the numbers that we wanted to hit. So then we had minimums that they had to hit. If they didn't write at least 10 households that the month before, honestly, they weren't going to have a job the next month. And they knew that going in. They were absolutely aware of that. They knew that was the standard. There was kind of a 30-day ramp-up period, but once they hit day 31, they were expected to write 10 households a month. And then we had life policies on top of that that they were expected to pivot to. So we expected them to at least 30% of the households they wrote, a life policy was with it, and things like that. And we set those goals based on where we wanted the agency to be. And then we would set our processes and our compensation plans and everything else around that goal. We knew that we needed them to write 17 households a month. So we need to have processes in place for making sure that there's enough leads to go around for them to have enough swings to write 17 households a month. We need to have training in place so we're not throwing them to the wolves, so that when we say 17 households a month, we know that's doable with the training they've had. We also, compensation-wise, need to make sure that we're not paying out 13 salespeople and going broke in the process up front. And so we've got to come up with a compensation plan that at least gets us to break even, to where after the first 30 days, we shouldn't take a loss on any employee ever. And if we're going to take a loss, we should see that coming and be able to let them go before we take the loss. Because when you're talking that scale, you know, when you have one, two employees, you can afford to take, you know, a $500,000 loss on them every month because the renewal is going to come in 6 months and make up for that. And when you're talking 13 people, you can't take that kind of hit on the books, because it's going to eat up your budget real quick, month to month. And so we had to have processes in place, and it took us a long time to go through that. That first year of sitting down and putting that plan together, it took us all of November, all of December, kind of multiple times a week looking at it and having, you know, 3-4 hour meetings trying to find all the downfalls of it. And there's obviously tweaking along the way, but that was kind of how we approached the initial goal setting. And so we knew where our standards were as an agency. We knew what level we wanted to sit at. We knew what level of income needed to be coming in. We knew what level of policies needed to be coming in. And we knew how many salespeople we needed to do that. We could have very easily said, hey, with writing, you know, if all the agents wrote 25 households a month, we don't need 13 salespeople. We need 10 or 8 or whatever it might be. But when we looked at it, we looked at, you know, 17 was actually reasonable with the processes that we had in place and with the leads we could bring in and with what we knew we had. So we weren't just shooting from the hip either. We were looking at traditionally, and everything I ever required one of my salespeople to do, I did. So it was, we looked at, you know, my last 12 months with the leads that I was getting, how many calls did it take me a day to get these policies? How many leads did I need coming in? You know, how many hours, all of that. We looked at all that and decided, you know, 17 is actually a reasonable number. That is, you know, average kind of thing. And so you got to be practical about your goals too. You can't just say, hey, I want my salespeople to write 25 policies a month. Well, if you don't have it in those systems in place for them to write those 25 policies a month, it's not going to happen. And so you've got to make sure the systems are in place first and test those first. Do it yourself before you ask your sales team to do it. And that was one of the big things that I know, talking to other managers of State Farm offices and things like that, and talking to the sales leaders in here in Arizona, like that was one of the big differences that I had going into it versus some of these other office managers and agents and things like that, is that they didn't do it first. They were asking their sales team to do something that on paper looked like it could be done, but they had never actually done it. And so, I mean, I would say that's one of the big things too with goals, is make sure if you're going to project goals out to anybody else that you've actually taken the steps to be able to look at them and say, hey, I've done this. And because I did that on day one of every new employee, me and them had a 2-hour goal setting meeting where we sat down and we went through, Hey, here's our goals as an agency and here's our standard. That's all fine and dandy. Where do you want to go? What do you want to get out of this? Are you looking to, in the next 2 years, move out and branch out and open your own agency? Are you wanting to make $200,000 a year? Because that's totally possible, because we don't have a commission cap. It's possible. You're going to have to put in a ton of work, but it's possible. Are you wanting to, are you the kind of person that wants to make $60,000, check out at 5 and be home with your family? That's totally fine as long as you hit the minimums, but let's set those expectations right now. And we would set those expectations with them and we would go through and break out, okay, if this is what you want to make, here are the benchmarks of what numbers you need to put up for that to happen. And we would break it down monthly. This is where their number total needs to be. And then weekly, we would break it down. So, hey, at every Friday, if you're not here and this is really your goal and this is really what you're telling me you want to be at, you probably should show up on Saturday and make some extra calls, that kind of thing. And so, and then weekly, I would have a meeting with each employee, just kind of a touch base where we pull up their numbers. And, you know, I had plenty of employees that say, hey, you know, you didn't come in on Saturday, but yet you left Friday nowhere close to the numbers that you told me you wanted to hit. So what's the deal here, kind of thing. And so holding them accountable to their goals as well was huge. And I mean, we had salespeople that, you know, were blowing past that 17 households a month because their goals were bigger than that for themselves personally. We had other agents that struggled with that because their goals were smaller. It was more of a priority for them to go home and have dinner with, you know, their family than it was to bring home what they said they wanted to bring home income wise for their family, which I'm not knocking that. If that's really where your priority is, by all means, have that be your priority and set your goals around that. But if you're telling me your priority is something different, then let's go that route. And we would break it down for them in a couple different ways to set their goal or to achieve those goals. The biggest one we did was phone activity. Because for us, that was a direct correlation to where they were going to end up. We knew that if they made 100 phone calls, they were going to talk to 8 to 10 of those 100. We're going to answer the phone. 3 to 4 of them were actually going to have a conversation and one of them might close. on a completely cold call, just a list or somebody who is more than 5 days old as a lead, is what we considered a cold call. If they were more than 5 days old, because we just assume they don't remember us at that point. They've had a million things happen in those 5 days. And so we looked at that. And so if they needed 17 households a month, basically, you know, that breaks out to roughly, you know, four a week that they need to close, which is, you know, basically the goal was, hey, you need to shoot for closing one a day. So at minimum, you need to be making 100 phone calls a day. And that's if you're good. And if you can get those people on the phone and you can actually get those 3 to 4 conversations to have real conversation with you, because you're going to get the, let me talk to my wife. You're going to get the, I need to think about it. You're going to get the, hey, I just paid my bill a week ago and I don't have the money to pay it, double pay it. So we have to wait till the end of the month. You're going to get those. And so you got to be able to push through. So I always set the expectation for all of our salespeople at 250 calls a day is what they had to make. That's what had to be on their call logs. If I came in the next morning, pulled the call logs, and they did not have 250 calls, then we were having a conversation, and, you know, we'd go through the process of, you know, kind of warning write-ups and all that kind of thing, because the activities are what is going to drive sales. And 250, I know, sounds like a lot to people when they think about, like, when I say that number to other agents, they're like, oh, I can never get my sales team to do that. The reality is we timed it out. If all 250 of those people didn't answer and went to voicemail, you're talking 40, it's 44 seconds from the first ring to hanging up on a voicemail. That's the average. So even if you round that up to a minute, you're talking 250 minutes spent on the phone just to leave voicemails. That's 4 hours of an 8-hour day. Where'd the other 4 hours go? Hopefully it went to a handful of those having good 10, 15 minute conversations with you and doing quotes for them and writing policies and having follow-ups. Hopefully that's where it went. And so I would tell people, hey, if you don't want to make 250 cold calls, that's totally fine. Spend your first couple weeks getting a lot of these people to say yes to quotes and into your pipeline so that you can make 150 cold calls and 100 follow-up calls kind of thing. But I mean, the reality is when you break it down for the goals, I think a lot of times a thing that we as agents can run into, because we get caught up in the service work, we get caught up in the claims calls that come in, we get caught up in a lot of the minutia of just the day-to-day, that we don't realize how much time something really takes. We think it takes a lot more than it does. And the reality is even managing an office and having 13 salespeople under me, having to run reports, having to report to the agent, having to do these weekly reviews with everybody, and all of that, even with all of that on my plate, I still committed to my sales team that, hey, you guys see that I have way more quote unquote responsibility on a day-to-day basis than you guys. I'm still going to commit to 150 calls a day that will be made, and I'll get yeses on quotes, and I'm going to hand those out to whoever's hitting their numbers to close. Nice. And we're still doing life appointments and all that kind of stuff on top of it. So the reality is you make the commitment and the time's there. And there were times where the day got away from me and I'd be sitting at the office till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night with my sales team finishing up my calls. And yeah. They see that. And so then the next day when they don't hit their numbers and I'm out the door at 5 because I'm done and I got somewhere to be as the manager, I can trust they're going to stay and they're going to finish their stuff, because they saw me do it the night before when they were all leaving. And they know that I'm committed to hitting the goals that we have as a team, and I'm committed to leading the way. And so they would go after it as well. And so we would break down all the goals like that. We had exact action steps. And we spent a lot of time on the process. We had a 4-day sales process that we put them through, because we knew that that was going to be what could turn over the volume quick enough to get the no's fast enough for us to turn that over and not be chasing dead leads. And we had a lot of checks and balances in place. We had it broken down to, hey, if you haven't written this many policies by the second week in the month, like, we need to have a conversation about whether this is really the spot for you. And we were clear, and we had a lot of washouts. To get those 13, honestly, we hired 25. Over the course of 12 months, we hired 25 salespeople and 13 stuck at the end of the day. We had a lot of washouts. We had a lot of people come in, and after the first week, they just didn't show back up. We had people that we had to let go in the first 30 days, and all of that. But for me, it always came down to activities. Are you committed to hitting the goals that we sat there on day one and agreed on? And if you're doing the activities to get there, then I'm okay spending the time training you and coaching you on how to be better at the actual sales part. It's just a matter of, I don't want to work with somebody who tells me they want to make $100,000 a year, but is only going to do the activities for 40.
Yeah, I think you make some good points on the activity piece, you know, and that goes down to that action plan. Like I said, a lot of times we set goals, but then we don't have the action plan behind it, and then we just kind of get reactionary, and we let the day happen. I like, you know, when Doug's talking about 250 calls, I'm even thinking, shit, that's a lot of calls. But then when you really break it down, like you said, it's really not. It's really not. We let them sell us excuses. And honestly, most people don't know where they don't have any idea where their time is going. And so one of the first things that I always have people do when they come into our program is a time blocking exercise. If you will spend a week time blocking, just take a journal, take an Excel spreadsheet, and list a row for every hour that you're gonna work. So if you work 8 to 5, have 8, 9, 10, all the way down, and leave some space. At the end of every hour, have a little timer go off and take a minute and a half to bullet point what you did in that hour. So if you get into the office at 8 o'clock, God forbid you work at State Farm and you have to let that damn dinosaur boot up for 10 minutes. Let my thing boot up. And I went and made coffee. I turned on the lights. I checked all the voicemails. Went through the mail. Like, whatever it was that you did, just list all those things. You know, I took a shit. Whatever it is that you did for that hour, list it. And have your team do the same thing. It will be probably one of the most eye-opening exercises that you do. And do it for a full week. Don't miss it. Every hour, just take... I promise it'll change the way you see your day. You will no longer accept excuses, because you will find out, and honestly, it'll make you sick the first time you do it, how much time you waste every single day. And you go back and look at an hour and say, shit, I didn't do anything. I haven't done anything in the hour. But by doing that, it keeps you focused. And actually, over that process, it will, although you'll see a lot of dead space and a lot of wasted time, it will still be the most productive time, because you've actually taken every hour and reminded yourself, shit, that was unproductive. And you'll be more productive the next hour than you were that hour. So it's not even a true picture of how much time you waste, but it will give you a really good, it'll give you a good picture of how much productive time that you're missing out on, and have your team do it, and do it as a fun exercise. Don't tie consequences to it, because you want to know what your team is doing all day long. You want to know what's going on. And so just tell them, this isn't about punishing anybody. This isn't about, you know, this is something for us to just be able to see, so that we can improve where we use our time. Because, hey, I tell you what, like Doug said, if you guys have goals, if you've met your goal and you want to go home early, boom, hit the door. If that's what you want to do, if you want to make some extra money, then go ahead, keep saying. But if you've got their goals and they're hitting their goals, then say, hey, you know, this will allow us to be more efficient with our time. And now you might be able to get out every Friday at noon because you've met your goals, because now you're more productive with the other 4.5 days. But I think it'll be a really powerful exercise, and I would challenge each of you that are listening to this to do a time blocking exercise for a week. Every hour that you're in, bullet point what you've done, do the same for your team, and then talk about it and find some pockets of inefficiency. What you'll notice over time is you'll notice that there will be hours in the day that you tend to float or drift, or that your team tends to drift. You might find one person tends to drift around 11 o'clock. And they're on, you know, somebody else goes to lunch at 11 and they don't go to lunch to 12, but you find that they're drifting at 11. So you're missing out on 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and then they go to lunch from 12 to 1, and then they come back and they got to get back in gear. So you've lost 3 hours of that person's day. You can swap those people's lunch hours and say, hey, you go to lunch at 11 because you obviously you're getting hungry, or I'm losing you, you're ADD, whatever the hell it is, but I'm losing you at 11 o'clock every day. So why don't you take your lunch at 11, come back fresh at 12, and you'll save yourself an hour and a half of productivity from that person just from a simple exercise like that. So there's a lot of things that you can do, and we'll share a ton of little tips and tricks along the way. Wanted just to finish off the part two of the goal setting and business planning. Again, just reach out to us. We are offering you guys a 3-year business plan template that you guys can use. If you don't have one, if you haven't written one before, you've never written a business plan, that's okay. Don't be embarrassed to ask. Most people haven't. We'll send you that template for free. We'll send you the free 6 steps to effective goal setting. If you'd like, just reach out to us, send a message, comment on Facebook, hit us up on Agency Lines Mastermind page. Join our Insurance Hustle group. If you're on Facebook, go to Insurance Hustle, type it in and send a request. We've got almost 4,000 insurance agents in there, tons of free content, marketing training, tons and tons of resources. Referrals are getting passed, and there's just a lot of cool things that we've got coming for that group. So get plugged into us. It doesn't cost anything to do there. And just make sure that you get connected with Doug on his page and look me up. My dad's name is Sean Mathis too, so I'm Sean J. Mathis on Facebook if you're looking for it. And Doug is just Doug, M-I-L-E-M, right? M-I-L-E-M. Just send a friend request, join us, man, follow us. We'd love to help you out in any way that we can. Thanks again, Doug, for your time, and we hope to see you guys on the other side.